Everybody take your Bibles and turn to Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. We're going to read verses 7 through 4. Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 4, the Bible says this. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the life of Paul. Heavenly Father, I pray that through this passage you would challenge, you would convict. Heavenly Father, once again, we desperately need to hear from you. You're the only one that can meet every need here this afternoon or this evening. And dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the desire of these people to get to know you. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just don't disappoint. And dear Heavenly Father, the only way that's going to happen is if you meet with us. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to talk about the commitment of Paul. The commitment of Paul. You know, Paul was a man committed to Christ. And as you study the life of Paul, we see the deep commitment that he had to serving Christ, to striving to be like Christ. And, I guess tonight I'd like to ask, the thing about it is the Bible talks about comparing ourselves among ourselves, but I believe at the same point in time that God placed everything in the Bible for a reason. And we see the commitment of Paul, not necessarily so we can compare ourselves among ourselves, but I believe that God purposefully placed this in the Bible so that it can challenge us, it can convict us, it can prompt us to get better. And like Paul said, basically none of us have attained. You know, the thing about it I wonder if we were to compare our commitment level to Christ with the commitment of Paul, what would happen? You see, Paul here in verse 7, let's read it again. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Those things that were gained to me. What have we been willing to count but loss for Christ? See, the thing about it is everybody's committed to something. You know, everybody has a passion, it seems like. You know, the young people tend to have a passion or a commitment for video games. It seems like that is their muse. That is the thing that they focus on and strive so much. Sometimes, we as adults, we tend to have a passion or a commitment for work. And the thing about it is there's nothing wrong with being committed to the work, doing the best job possible. But sometimes we take that to an extreme. And the thing about it is we should be committed to our spouse. And the thing about it is when it comes down to it, you know, when we said I do, it was I do for life. And the Bible never said anything about murder. No, but anyways, here's the thing is that, listen, we should be committed. We committed to a long-term relationship. And the thing about it is some people are committed to their career. Some people are committed to money-making. And you know what? Anything they can do to make the almighty dollar. And some people are committed to their social life, and some people are committed to family, and I think family is important. But here's the thing is, what is really your priority in life? And what is our priority in life? Paul says here, those things that were gained to me, I counted but loss. What is unimportant to you and I for Christ's sake? What, you know, the thing about it, when the Bible talks about when we got saved, all things become new. Think about those things that the world counts important. Think about the world sports. I love sports just like the next person, and I love to tease Pastor about sports. That's why we're trying to do what we're doing with the memorabilia and the windowsills. But the thing about it is you know what? Some people, they're committed to sports to a fault. Where sports, I'll never forget, in Michigan, the Super Bowl was a bigger deal. And, I'll never forget, there was a group of people that would skip church because they were so committed to their team that those sports were more important than God was. And the thing about it is, I believe that you can be committed to a team and still be committed to God. There is a balance there. But at the same point in time, is what is unimportant to you for Christ's sake? What is our priority? And see, Paul here, he was committed. He was willing to count for loss those things that were gained to me. In other words, the things that the world held important didn't matter. What mattered the most was God and His will. You know, the world counts success as climbing up the ladder and having the best car and having the nicest home and the most amount of money and the biggest pool and the biggest boat and the best motorcycle and having the highest position in your job and having this, that, and the other. And you know, the thing about it is when it comes down to it, what's more important in our life? Next is, what have we been unwilling to count for loss for Christ? The Bible says, I count all things but loss for Christ. George Mueller said, giving is not measured by what you surrender to Christ, but what you withhold. The same is true of dedication and commitment. What do you hold back from Christ measures your commitment. What area of life do we say, God, you can have everything but this area right here? Never forget the illustration. Pastor Paisley used to tell all the time, the assistant pastor, he's now the pastor in Pasco, Washington, where I grew up. And he tells a story about this man had seen this little kid in a candy store. And it was way back in the day. And this little kid, every day at a certain time, would go into this candy store and he'd just drool all over himself about all this candy through this candy store. The problem was, is that he had no money. And so every day he would drool, and the store owner almost got annoyed with him, because here's the thing is, he would fingerprint up the display and he never had any money. Well, this man had seen this, and one day he said, you know what? I'm going to make some kid's day. And he pulled out some money and set it on the counter, and he said, you know what? When that little boy comes, he says, I want you to give him as much candy as that much money buys. And it was a lot of money. And it was about ready to buy a lot of candy. And that little kid came in just like clockwork. He started drooling all over the candy and the clockwork. And the store owner said, son, today's your lucky day. You can have this much money's worth of candy. You should have seen his face light up. It lit up like a Christmas tree. He's like, I'll have some of that, and I'll have some of that, and I'll have some of that. And he just went around, and you know what? He squeezed as much candy out of that money as he possibly could. And he had this big bag of candy and automatically started sampling it. And the man that had paid the money walked over to the young boy and said, son, can I have some of that candy? And he grabbed the bag and started crinkling the bag. He says, it's mine. As he backed up, it's mine. You know, the thing about it is this is the way we are with our life. God has given us everything. Christ has died on the cross for our sin. He's given us the Bible. He's given us prayer. He's given us so much. We owe Him everything. And we take our life and we crinkle the bag and we step back and say, it's mine. It's mine. It's mine. The one who bought it all, we're not willing to share with. The thing about it is how long, you know, what are we willing, or what have we been unwilling to count but lost for Christ? The thing about it is that our life is His. Do you realize that with one, he doesn't even have to snap his fingers and our heart could stop beating. Our breath could stop. And the thing about it is we owe him everything. You know, the car that we drive, guess what? It's his. We may hold the title, but you know what? All things belong to God. And so that house that we treasure, more important than whatever, and we are committed to, that job that we are committed to, our health, you know what, is God's. And so when we take and we crinkle the bag on this, God has paid the price for us. God is the reason we live life the way we do. You know, we talk about how God owns everything. What are we unwilling to count but loss for Christ? The next is found that was found in verse 8. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Paul is saying, listen, there's nothing more important than God. There's no possession more important than God. There's no relationship more important than God. And here, everything is nothing compared to a relationship with my Savior. Next is found in verse 12. The Bible says this, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. How long has it been since you measured your growth in Christ? Paul says, not as though I had already attained. Paul's not speaking of salvation here, because you know what? We don't attain salvation. God makes it very clear. We didn't seek out Christ. Christ sought out us. And so Paul is saying, not as though I had already attained. You know what? I haven't. Paul, one of the best Christians in the Bible, is saying, hey, listen, I have not attained. You know what? I've been a Christian for many years. I've followed after Christ. He was instrumental in many things. God used him in a great way. And Paul said, listen, I am not the end. I am not at the end. I have not reached the pinnacle. I have not stopped growing. He says, there is more in my life that I would like to do for God. I would like to become closer to God. I'd like to be more yielded over to God. He said, listen, there's so much more I have not attained. And we as Christians, I don't care if you've been saved for 5 years, 50 years or 500 years, you know what? We've never reached the point where we should stop growing. We never reached the point where we're so close to God that, hey, I'm good. We never reached the point where we're so surrendered to God that, hey, there's nothing else I can do in my life. We need to take and realize that if the best Christian in the Bible says, you know what? I have not attained, that we should never say, you know what? I don't need that revival service. I'm good. I don't need those services. Hey, I've attained. I don't have to read my Bible through in a year. You know what? I'm good. I've heard it all. I don't need to spend all night in prayer, because you know what? God knows my heart. That just right there shows that there's something wrong with my heart. If the greatest Christian says, I have not attained, who am I? I'll be honest with you. I look at Paul's commitment and I think, if he has a long ways to go, let's not even talk about me. And you know, when it comes down to it, how long has it been since we measured our growth? This has to do with spiritual growth. Paul was used to see many converts come to know the Savior. Many churches started. He endured persecution cheerfully. Let's not even go there. Moving right along. And here's the thing: is you know what, we experience some persecution, and I tell you what, we curl up in a ball and we start crying and we start, somebody mistreated me. And here's the thing: is Paul endured it cheerfully. Yeah, I tell you what, we can hold an invitation right there, and the altar should be full. I think all of us would be down there. And when it comes down to it, yet he is not satisfied. He wants to be closer to a Savior. The question is, has there ever been a better day in our Christian life? Has there ever been a time where we've been more into the Scriptures than we are today? Has there ever been a time where we spent all night in prayer and we don't now? How's our prayer life? How's our commitment to God? See, the thing about it is you know, commitment is measured by what we hold important. And you know what? I'll be honest with you. If we hold anything else more important than we hold God and what God commands, I'll be honest with you, our commitment level is not where it should be. Paul is saying, hey, listen, nothing is more important than God. Nothing is more important than what he says in this word. Nothing, you know what? God loves the church. And you know what? If God loves the church so much that he holds it as a priority, I'm going to be committed to God. And I'm going to say, you know what? I'm going to be committed to this church. I'm going to be committed to serving the Savior. I'm going to be committing to sharing the gospel, passing out tracts, and making sure everyone around me knows the Savior. Next, you see in verse 13, the Bible says this, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth into those things which are before. I don't know if you've ever ran a race. I know it doesn't look like I've ever ran a race, but when I was a young person, I remember Pastor Griffin giving us some challenging words in physical education and the different sports that we were in. And he says, "Listen, when you go, give it your all, and listen, at the very end, dig down deep and give it more." And the thing about it is that you know we should give it our all. What was Paul doing? He was not harboring grudges that hinder our service for the past. Forgetting those things which are behind. We should not remember what God has forgotten. Listen, when it comes down to it, I think all of us are in the same boat. There are things in our past that we're not happy with, that we're ashamed of. And you know, the Bible says that he separates us from our sin as far as the east is from the west. You know, the thing about it is that what God forgives and forgets, we shouldn't be bringing up. You know what that? You know who loves to do that? Old smutty face the devil. He likes to bring up our past and say, yeah, but you remember back in fifth grade? Do you remember what happened last year about this time? Do you remember? And here's the thing is, you know what? I'll be honest with you. We need to take and kick old smutty face the devil down the road and say, you know what? I don't care about the past. I'm striving for the future. Forgetting those things which are behind. Old barriers between believers have to come down. We must stop grieving the Holy Spirit. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30 through 32. The Bible says this, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Kind of when that verse talks about put away, it's kind of like putting away the past. And so here's the thing is, we've got to take and we've got to forgive because Christ has forgiven us. Think about the verse that talks about how often should we forgive our brother? 70 times 7. Listen, I don't want to do the math in public because I'll probably be embarrassed, but that's a lot of forgiveness. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know that any of us have ever been wronged that many times in a day. But you know what? That's how many times God, Christ says that we should forgive. And we needed to take and let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from us with all malice and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even for God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. Lastly, are you ready for the return of Christ? Turn back to Philippians 3, verse 14. The Bible says, "And I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Paul has often used athletic concepts to teach us about life. Here he is reaching forth, stretching, expecting a prize. The Bible says, "So much the more as you see the day approaching." The Bible talks about that life is but a vapor. It appeared for a little time and vanished away. and the nursing homes. I talked about the second coming of Christ. And here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, we are in the last days. We are in the final stretch of the marathon. You look at the world, and the world is waxing more wicked and wicked. It's resembling Sodom and Gomorrah. It's resembling the time of Noah. And the thing about it is that when it comes down to it, this world is about ready to end. The Bible says we don't know the day or the hour. And I know that for many years, people have said that the second coming is coming any time. But you know what? When you look at the signs of the time, it could be tonight. Are we ready for the return of Christ? At the high calling of Christ Jesus, Paul lived each day waiting for that call. Never forget evangelist Joe Boyd. He came to our church every year, and he was good friends with my pastor, Pastor Dobson. And I'll never forget, he would preach on the second coming of Christ, and he'd be like, "Come up hither! Come up hither!" Yeah, listen, I don't know what Christ is going to say when he comes back. When that trumpet sound, you know what? I'll be honest with you, I won't be surprised if it is "come up hither," because Joe Boyd was a godly man. But here's the thing is, you know what? Whatever he says, are we ready for the coming of Christ? What will we be found doing? Who will we be found committed to? Ourselves, the world, the flesh, and the devil, or Christ? Here's the thing is, you know what? I think all of us want just when we see Christ to hear the "well done, thou good and faithful servant." But listen, the truth of the matter is we're going to be caught doing something when the second coming arises. You know what? Are we going to be caught sneaking around and wallowing in our sin? Are we going to be sneaking around trying to put the world and the cares of this world before Christ? Are we going to be out on our fishing boat instead of in church? Are we going to be out partying instead of in church? Are we going to be out waxing our Camaro instead of being in church? Are we going to be doing other things rather than witnessing because we're too ashamed of the gospel of Christ? Are we going to be called when the call is heard, "Come up hither"? Are we going to be passing out a tract? Are we going to be sitting in a church? So the question is what are we committed to? And the sad part about it is the reason why, I know we've all heard this before, but the Bible says the answer is in the children of God. You want to know why this world is so wicked and perverse? It's because we as God's children have not been committed to Him. The thing about it is we're not willing to get stoned for the cause of Christ. We're too busy about what other people think of us. We're not willing to sacrifice our busy schedule for time alone with the Lord. We're not willing to have an all-night prayer meeting where, you know what, tears start flowing down your face, because the more you pray, the more you just feel God's presence, and the more you pour out of your heart, and you get to the point where all you can do is cry, because you know what, you're pouring your heart out to God, and you just want God to work in your life, you just want God to work in your church, you just want to see souls saved, you're burdened for your neighbor, you're burdened for your coworker, you're burdened for your family, and the burden, you know, the Bible talks about it, burns within us, and all we can do is cry. What happened to the commitment of those Christians? What happened to the commitment of somebody saying, "You know what, everybody I get in contact with, I'm going to pass out a track. Everybody, you know what, I'm going to see people as lost or saved." Why? Because Satan is real. Hell is real. What happened to the commitment of the evangelists that their wives didn't know if they were talking to God or talking to their spouse? Here's the thing is, what happened to that commitment? What happened to that dedication? I'll be honest with you. That's where America is. That's where Christians all across America is. Because I'll be honest with you. When I compare my dedication to the life of Paul, I think, wow, I'm nowhere near. I let the television set. I let the radio. I let the world and all of its pleasures and cares drown out the voice of God. I get so wrapped up in what I see, I forget what I cannot see And that's a spiritual battle going on. The Bible says that we're supposed to endure hardness as a good soldier. The thing about it is there's a battle going on. There's a battle going on for us. If you don't believe it, just try and do something for God. I'll be honest with you. Every veteran service, I can tell when we're about a month out. Cars start breaking. Things in the house starts breaking. Things start going wrong. Why? Because there's a spiritual battle going on. And I'll be honest with you. Last year, the devil threw everything he could at our church. But praise the Lord. You know what? We had a church that said, we're committed to Christ. We're committed to doing His will. We're committed to seeing souls saved. And we're committed to reaching beside us for God. This is the dedication that we need. We need to be so dedicated to God that, you know what? Nothing else is important. I don't care about money. I don't care about fame. I don't care about a car. God, if you want it, it's yours. If you want me, I'm yours. I don't care what happens to me. I don't care about the circumstances. I don't care about anything. Everything is done compared to being used by you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we see the life of Paul and his commitment to you, I think if we're honest with ourselves, we see that we've fallen short. Heavenly Father, I pray that tonight we would renew our commitment to you. Too many times we're committed to the TV. Too many times we're committed to just so many other things. We're committed to sports. We're committed to our job. And you get shoved aside. Heavenly Father, we know that you're coming soon. We know that time is short. I pray that you help us to renew our commitment tonight, that we are going to be committed to you, and that what you want, that's what's number one. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.